Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all God's people. I am Melissa Enoch DeBerry. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I'm a licensed professional counselor associate. Most importantly, I'm a child of God. This morning, I just wanted to say thank you for joining us this morning. Our call-in number is 347-945-5924. The show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 282-06, 704-333-2446, and Burlington, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Dear God, we just want to give thanks this morning just for allowing us to wait this morning to get on our way this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to share with others wisdom, knowledge, and instruction about your way. We want to thank you for having a platform in order for individuals to listen, to learn about the resources that are available in the communities. And most importantly, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all the things that you're continuing to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. We are celebrating National Recovery Month. Last week, it was kind of interesting because I scheduled a program because I want to remain consistent, and then I wasn't able to do a full all-out live recording because at 8 o'clock in the morning on my birthday, September the 1st, 2016, I was sitting inside of a Department of Motor Vehicles renewing my driver's license. And one of the observations that I made while I was in there was a line that had formed in Alamance County. There's only one driver's license place in the whole county, so you can count on there being a lot of people there. Unlike Mecklenburg County, where they have, at least in my mind, I can count a total of three of them, one on Bookshire, one on North Tryon, or was on North Tryon, and one on Central Avenue or Admiral Road, or one of those streets on that side. And that's for this county. I don't know how they decide that how many that they need or any rhyme or reason of how they perform their services, but irregardless, every DMV that you go to, it doesn't matter the county, are very busy. The reason being is that everyone needs an ID or a driver's license or some method of identification for anywhere that they go. I mean, in order to have a passport, I understand that you have to have so many forms of identification, but the driver's license being one of them. I don't know what things were like prior to 9/11, which has been commemorated on Sunday. I don't know what it was like prior to that because I didn't really think about it. As I look back and think about 15 years ago, I believe it was 9/11/2001. This would be 9/11/2016. 15 years ago, I don't really know what I thought about it. I know that at the time where I was working and all of that, but I'm getting off topic. I'm just thinking about what the situation may have been or may not have been as far as identification prior to that, in that there were supposed to be individuals who commandeered planes, and how would they do that if they had IDs, because then they would have known they weren't pilots and things like that. So, and then people being who they are. So that's 15 years. But back to the DMV and my observation on last week. On the first day of National Recovery Month, National Recovery Month of September is a month that SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Mental Health and Services Administration, celebrates. And it started to bring awareness to substance use 28 years ago. Again, I don't know what was happening 28 years ago. I can't really even do the math of 28 years. Let's see, 16 and then 12. So somewhere around 1988, 1989, I imagine, graduated from high school. And there were drugs back then. I don't really know a comparison from then to now, but they felt the need to have some awareness about the different resources and that recovery was possible. And anybody that's been in the field 30 years knows all the different changes. And again, I get off topic as I think about National Recovery Month. But the first day I celebrated the first part of my birthday in the Department of Motor Vehicle, and it was really appropriate because I was able to see the importance of the Department of Motor Vehicle to everybody's life. So as I'm standing in line to renew my driver's license, I had to renew my driver's license. You renew every 5 years. I have to renew every 5 years because I have a CDL passenger endorsement. I don't know about other individuals. I don't know if they renew every 3 or every 7 or how that works. But I do know that whatever, ever how you have to renew it, you renew your driver's license, and that's why I was there. In the line with me, there was another individual who was trying to reinstate his driver's license. So I was like, oh, okay, I know what he's there for. He had a DWI at some point, or he had too many speeding tickets, or he had too many fines that he had to pay. But he finally got him taken care of, and he was trying to reinstate his driver's license. So he was at the DMV along with me trying to renew my driver's license. And then there was an individual who had gotten married. So she was there to change her driver's license from her maiden name to her married name. And she was excited, so she had to take a seat. Then there was another lady there who had gotten divorced. And so she needed to change her driver's license from her married name on her driver's license, I imagine, back to her maiden name. But they had to send her away because she didn't go through the proper steps. I guess she was so excited about having received her divorce papers, she forgot that she needed to go change her Social Security card also. And then there's another connection, and it comes back around to what, again, was my observations in the Department of Motor Vehicle and how connected we all are. There were some other people in there. There were some young people in there that were trying to get their driver's license for the first time, or people had come over here or come here to this state. So you have young people, people have moved. So people that are in transition, all of us meeting in the Department of Motor Vehicles in order to get our driver's license and or something having to do with our driver's license. So fast forward through the day, later on, I ended up at Daymark. Daymark is a treatment facility in Cabarrus County. For an appointment, now, not for nothing, I run my own business, but I always keep my options open. So I was interviewing for a lead position in a place that has a lot of locations and has been in substance abuse for a long period of time that appears to be a stable place to work. So here I am in this facility, running my own facility, with them the knowledge of me having my own facility, having just left the Department of Motor Vehicles and seeing the connections there. And then I end up there, and I went from, I mean, total opposites. There were so much disconnect. Number one, I don't know the community where I'm in. Don't really know about Cabarrus County, but I do know that there was an all-white staff in the office. And not for nothing, if that reflects the community, then so be it, but surely you have maybe one of them spoke Spanish, or if not, then I don't know what they would do. And so there's an apparent disconnect of the community, especially in Cabarrus County, which reflects almost Alamance County, but nevertheless. And then I was almost into the interview, and a man came in, and he was seeking information about his intoxilizer. And as he was seeking information about his intoxilizer, he was asking questions to these staff people. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you're here trying to get information about, I guess he's done with his driver's license and are done with his program he needed to get. So I know about that also. And he inquired as to where he could get his intoxilizer put into his vehicle, and of which nobody knew. And so ended up sitting there, and I have my National Recovery Month flyer, and I'm still trying to maintain my upbeat stance as far as believing of the connectedness of the community and everyone helping everyone. I proceeded to write down the name of the intoxilizer places, Smart Start, Monotech, and Alkalock, which is the three majors that are in the area. And I told him, and I just wrote them down, and I gave him the names and sent them on his way, not to be intruding, but just to give information because he was a man in need. And he left, and he came back, and he asked me, and so I was like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Where did you do your program? Of which he told me in the same facility that had no knowledge of where he could get his intoxilizer. I said, okay. So as I went into the interview and shared, you know, my reason for being there and my desires of my heart, which is stability in the workplace, not that Trinity is not stable, but it's not. I'm a private, Trinity Counseling Services is a private, for-profit treatment facility, and it relies on individuals coming in from the outside, and if anything goes wrong, then my license can be taken away and I not be able to work. So I don't want to have that, even though all of us are sitting under licenses. I don't really want that headache anymore. So, of course, I'm looking for something that's more stable or not having to drive 2 hours or, you know, keep a lot of stuff going where I have other focuses. And, you know, that's the need that I have. Back to the connectedness. So I go into there and I let the lady know. I'm like, ma'am, you know, because she was like, well, we want, you know, all of us to be connected, communicate, you know, this, that, and the third. And I told her, I said, well, that would be all well and good. I said, but if your front desk has no knowledge of anything, then that's unfortunate because that doesn't appear very connected, nor does it appear very community. So I went from one place to my observation of connectedness in my mind to the polar opposite of this is a facility that should. The DMV does not bring people together. You're there for your license, whatever their matter is, and that's their job. But when you go into a treatment facility, you're there for a matter also, but then that job is expanded. So back to the whole idea of National Recovery Month on the first day, September the 1st, in the development of this program or the development of this event, these events that I'm hosting and have hosted for the number of years that I have hosted them, I have always tried to encourage or include everyone into the process. Back to the DMV. The DMV had individuals who had been married and divorced, who had moved from one spot to another one, and who had maybe violated their license or needed to retain their licenses so that they can go about their way. So on top of the Department of Motor Vehicle, you have the divorce lawyers, you have the individuals that perform the programs, you have the individuals who perform the ceremonies for the marriages, whether it be the magistrate, the justice, or the peace. You had individuals that moved from one state to another one, so they had to fall underneath whatever the guidelines. So you have those guidelines in place, or the laws of the state of North Carolina, which is our government. You also had the retaining of licenses so that when you go to different places as far as credit cards and things like that are used, then they're going to ask you for your ID. You're going to have – so you have – just in the Department of Motor Vehicle, there were instances of at least 7, 8, or 9 other divisions or entities that were all involved. At Daymark, Daymark is a treatment center, and it's in Cabarrus County, and there are – there are individuals that while you're at the at Daymark, you should be familiar with the whole process that a person has to go through, and then culminate that with every time that I work with my clients, either individually or separately, it all comes back to the same thing. Let's get a general understanding of all of what is going to be required for you having your driver's license so that when you leave here, you do not feel that you did not gain the information. Now, you may not get the information about, you know, whether you're going to drink or use anymore, but as listening to one of my clients, he says, you know, it didn't take a program. He's like, because even when I was in a program,
I don't really care about what the counselor said, this, that, and the third. But, you know, in order to save my life, then I did something about it. And that resonated in my mind because after all of these entities are satisfied, at the end of the day, none of this is ever going to matter if you're dead. And so how do I have a young man that is in my program now who is interested in sales? And I'm like, well, you know, you have to sell recovery. And it's unfortunate. How do you sell recovery? How do you sell, and can you sell what doesn't want to be sold? Can you sell what doesn't want to be purchased? And I guess that's where you run into a dilemma. A salesperson knows when they have a sale and they don't have a sale. And so in the time that I've been in the field, I started off believing that I was in sales. I think I do a pretty good job with selling the idea that things can be accomplished, that they can take care of their responsibilities, that things can be satisfied, that they can get their driver's licenses back, that they can proceed with their lives, things like that. But at the end of it all, I have to let them know that none of us gonna matter if it's killing them. And you know, the people post and say, well, the alcoholism creeps into a family like a beast. You know, I get the image of a vampire that you should not ask a vampire in. That goes back to the 70s and the 80s or even the 90s movies where they said it, no, don't invite the vampire in because then they'll never leave. If a child, if you invite anything into a child's heart at an early age or anything like that, genetic or otherwise, then it's there and it's not going to leave. So a child needs to be notified that so regardless of what you do, you cannot choose that way of life. Now, my mother and my father did not say that. They tried. What they said was, don't do it. Bottom line, like, you know, you're not a man, so you should not be drinking. You're not a loose woman, so you should not be, you know, going around sleeping with all of these people. You're not any of those things. So it was real, real. It should have been real simple, but because of rebellion, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear none of it. I rebelled because it didn't make any sense to me. It makes all the sense in the world to me now. And so I do try to protect my children, and I do try to give them different opportunities. But most importantly, I do try to give my children information. And because that's who I am, that's what I do. I'm a teacher, I'm an educator. I want to give people, including my own family, my own kids, information so that they can choose to make the right decisions or wrong decisions as they see, not as I desire it, but as they see. And so they need to have the full understanding of what that stuff is going to mean. And with National Recovery Month, I use the Jelinek model like a list, and the more that I look at it, almost the more obsessed that I become, as I'm tired of battling on the side of the addiction. I'm fighting for the addiction because I'm giving all of the information for the addiction. I'm telling you, you know, using that like a checklist. Okay, you got tolerance, so you're progressing further, and it's almost like, come on, I'm leading you downward. No. I'm done with the leading of downward. The honest desire for help. If you don't have an honest desire for help, then there's little I can do for you. So if you want to stay in the educational phase until you want to progress further, then that's fine. I will give you all of the education possible. I will let you know every single place that provides services through. I'll start with National Recovery Month, and I'll let you know what treatment centers do. I'll let you know what the diagnosis is. I'll let you know where that comes from. I'll let you know what programs is out there so that you can take care of everything. I will do that until I'm blue. When you are ready to admit and accept that you have an addiction and that your life has become unmanageable,
and in all aspects of that terminology, then I will be right there to help. When you say that, you know what, I'm going to put my best effort in, I want to do what I need to do, I'll be right there also, because I'm a counselor and I'm a child of God, and I love my brethren, and I'm willing to do that. Now, am I suffering at the hands of it all? I don't consider it to be suffering. I'm not Jesus. I didn't die on any kind of cross, neither did any other treatment provider. But am I willing to go to bat, sacrifice, so that individuals can be saved? Yes, because I believe that someone did the exact same thing for me. Jesus, most importantly, who did die, who did live again, who did took everything to the grave with him as a Christian. That is what we believe. He did do that for me, so I don't have to do that. But I will plant, I will help water, and I will allow God to give the increase. I will plant whatever seeds that need to be planted, and I pray to God every day that those seeds aren't seeds of discouragement, that they're seeds of encouragement. I pray to God that every encounter that I have, every individual, I pray to God that they benefit from that. And I say thank you for all of what God then turns around and does. That if then works, you know, if I do all of these things, then he said that my family would be blessed, my home would be blessed, my kids would be blessed, everything I put my hands to would be blessed, every field will be blessed, every home will be blessed, everything, every encounter, my friends will be blessed. Everything will be blessed if I follow his commandments, and that is what I'm designed to do, I'm desired to do. And if there's any type of jealousy or envy or strife or rebellion or any evil thing, and I pray to God that he takes that away. In National Recovery Month, if I'm working on the side of the addiction, I'm giving the information, I'm succumbing to denial or anger or sadness or depression or downtrodden. If I'm succumbing to any of those things, and then I'm asking God to deliver me from all of those things and allow me to, my daughter and I, we were looking up different words, and there's a song that Kanye has, and it's called Ultralight Beam. And my daughter was like, well, what is an ultralight? And an ultralight is a path, it's a ray, and it's at the speed of light, and it moves quickly. And I know that darkness and depression and all those dark things. It's almost like my daughters were watching this cartoon, and there was a flower. And I said, we've seen it twice, really, as I'm thinking about it, because then I seen it, it did it again in another cartoon that they were watching. But in the one cartoon, that there was a flower, and it should bloom in the day, but if it blooms at night, it develops a different power. If it blooms by the moonlight, something would happen, but if it blooms by the sunlight, then something would happen. So what darkness did was, so that it would not bloom in light, back, flew and covered the moon, and we seen it in the one movie we watched, which was one of those cartoons like that. I didn't have any idea what that was. I don't think it was Rio. It may have been. And then we seen it again in another cartoon, and so that image is in my mind as I'm thinking about the National Recovery Month. If we allow those bats to cover up the light, then things will bloom in darkness, and what that will then turn around to do is it will give it more power. So rather than to do that, what we want to do is to remove that darkness, to remove that stuff that's covering up the light, that's not allowing it to grow. And so it says when you try to remove a weed, it grows, it says its roots are way, way deeper than a regular flower. So, and what it does, that's how it chokes it out, but it chokes it out underneath the ground. And so what you want to do is allow that flower to bloom in light and be able to bloom and have roots strong enough. So even if the roots aren't deep enough, that the roots will be strong enough to withstand everything else, because even with the weeds is obviously going to be there. you're going to have, if you have the genetics for alcoholism and addiction, that's just going to be there. If you've got that negativity deep down inside, that's going to be there. Now, how do we root all of that out? Well, it may be necessary for it to be burned out. That's how sometimes you get rid of stumps and weeds. You may need to be sprayed out, dried out. All of these things may need to happen. So the whole idea this month, National Recovery Month, is the connections for all people to come together and in the removal of the shame and the stigma that is attached to alcoholism and addiction. Tomorrow, Friday, September the 9th, and Monday, September the 12th, we're going to be hosting a viewing of the Anonymous People in May Memorial Library in Burlington from 12 into 3, and then from 9 into, from 12 into 3 and from 5 into 8, 9 to 12 into 3 on Friday and 5 into 8 on Monday evening at May Memorial Library in Burlington. Anonymous People is a movie that basically says that you can't, you, if you don't have a voice, then you're invisible. And so you need to have a voice. And the voice for anonymity in the meeting rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, is no, you're not supposed to disclose that you are in recovery or going to meetings. No, it says it's anonymous. Well, then that seals you up, and so you can't ever speak out about all of these changes that you're seeing going on in the loss of financing towards treatment and, you know, resources that are available in the community, or rather, you know, you'd rather say that you are a something else, an alcoholic, than an addict. You'd rather say that you got a mental health disorder than say you have addiction. I mean, all of those lies and deceptions. Lastly, but now until National Recovery Month 2017, I want to bring Samuel Jackson to the Carolinas. And the reason I want to bring him, and I'm wanting to bring Eminem, and he comes through, and I would love to see Lil Wayne, and these are all, I am fans of all of them, but Samuel Jackson, not for the fact that he, the $7.42 billion that he has earned or has helped to earn for all the films that he's been in, and not for who he is, but more importantly, how he had a background of education, how he went the way of drugs and alcohol, how he himself had to come to the conclusion that he was an addict. And he said it was his wife that shared that with him. Part of his story says she and his daughter, 8 years old, found him under the influence, laying on the floor. He had gotten the bright idea that he was going to cook up some cocaine in their house and pass out with the paraphernalia and everything all around him. And he was working, and so he didn't believe that he was an addict alcoholic because he was using and he was working. He's going to work. And he said that his wife told him, like, okay, you're doing all of that acting and everything. And he even said it himself. He was like, yay, you know, I convinced them of this character. She says, no, it was still a skeleton. It wasn't until he got clean and he was able to embody the whatever the partner role that he was playing. And he fully understands why it is necessary to go beneath the surface of an idea. And I feel like he can speak that, and he can be a draw, and that is what is needed in order to allow people to know that recovery is possible, and you can prosper, and you prosper your family, you prosper other people if you just believe. So I just thank you right now, God, for that revelation. Thank you for the ability to be able to speak that. This is on record on this episode with Talk with Trinity. Feel free to write me, call me, come to the events, melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. We got the events in Burlington. We got a major event September the 17th in Charlotte from 10 until 3. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you continue to do in our lives. And we wish everyone well. Continue to press on, and we wish you a blessed day.